golfing performance, are we?
I agree, but I'm just saying it's the same you would, you know, you would critique Tiger in, say, match play or something like that.
Maybe so. Let's, without further ado, get all Frenchy on you.
No, you there. Yes.
Talk to...
like the Francophile.
Robbie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm a little messed up this morning because I woke up to about an inch of snow in my yard. I'm just really kind of confused. I really am.
Well, enjoy it because this is probably the last time it'll ever happen in your life in May.
I guess so.
We haven't even talked about that. I mean, it is definitely, I don't think it's a sign of the apocalypse, but it's definitely a sign that something's out of whack. I mean,
snowing in May.
Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria, Bill Cree.
Something very strange is going on here, so I shouldn't have to be to looking at snow on May 3rd, but that's what we're doing up here this morning. So
hey, must be baseball weather.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. It's actually very, very surprising Arkansas is not hosting a home game tonight, because that's usually the way it falls up here, you know. If it's snow, there's going to be a baseball game, but they're on the road, so they're okay.
Yeah, I'm curious. In May, do people show up and try to empty out the local supermarkets of bread and milk and everything else? Because there doesn't seem to be the hysteria that accompanies some sort of snowstorm on a typical basis.
That is true.
I'm going to the grocery store in a little bit, so I will be able to have an answer for you. I'll make sure to call back and let you know if the show's been cleaned out or not up here.
Right. No more toilet paper.
No more toilet paper. Just me no bread. No milk. None of that stuff.
No toilet paper is me on a Tuesday. So.
Happens.
So anyway.
Happens. Robbie, let's talk about some baseball. I don't know how the weather's going to be in Lexington. I'm going to assume that it's not going to be real friendly for baseball, but hopefully they won't have any snow at least.
Yeah. As far as I know, the weather's supposed to be okay. And, you know, it's a big series for Arkansas. They're on the road again. They're 7-1 in SEC road games. That's unbelievable to me. They play so well on the road this year. In SEC games, so they're going to try to see if the success can continue at Kentucky.
So let's talk about the matchup a little bit. This is probably the best. Is it safe to say this is the best team that Arkansas plays in conference play the rest of the way?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Kentucky hasn't had a great year. They started off pretty well in conference play, but they kind of stumbled there for a while and were struggling a little bit and have lost some series. But this is still a pretty good team. I think they've got a pretty good starting pitching staff. You know, the frontline pitchers are going to be pretty challenging for Arkansas, and their offense, you know, they don't hit the ball that well, but they seem to score, you know, plenty of runs. So they've got some guys that can hit some home runs, especially in that ballpark, which is the shorter one, the smaller one. So I think it'll be a pretty big challenge for Arkansas this week. But you're right, it's on paper, it's the biggest challenge left in the regular season.
The coaching staff seemed encouraged, despite the fact that the offensive output was not a lot better. The defense a little bit better, though, in the two-game set against Georgia. And they seemed disappointed that they didn't get a chance to finish it off with a three-game sweep.
Yeah, you know, you just felt like that was a game they would have won and they would have swept again. So they didn't get the chance to play that one. They were disappointed about that. But I thought that they came back and they played pretty well in the midweek. A lot of guys got on the mound. They threw eight pitchers on Tuesday night. That was kind of the plan all along, to get a lot of guys that had. I mean, because if you think about it, they had their midweek rained out last week too, so they only got to play two of the four. So there's a lot of pitchers kind of chomping at the bit to get out there and throw a little bit, and they got all that done. They scored some runs. It wasn't pretty. I think they only had about seven hits, you know, and they got a couple runs scored on sack flies and a couple more on base loaded walks. So they didn't exactly, you know, club the ball by any means, but that's what this team's got to do. They got to find ways to manufacture runs the rest of the way, and they were able to do it on Tuesday night, and now they feel good heading back on the road.
Robbie, is it too early for Dave Van Horn to think about managing for the postseason now? You mentioned that they threw eight guys. Does he have to start thinking about that now? Because this is what it really all boils down to, right? I mean, now we're in a spot where we're
in the home stretch, if you will.
Start to make
again.
Another racing analogy.
And I think he did that with the schedule, to be honest with you. They don't have a midweek the rest of the way. So what it's doing is they're just playing baseball on the weekend. So, you know, they're not gonna really, you know, stress that pitching staff with a bunch of midweek games here as they move closer to the postseason. Yeah. So I think that you're right. This is when he starts managing for the postseason, but it really started with the scheduling, and this is the way you wanted it. Make sure they're not you know, playing too many games in the middle of the week. So they've just got three on the weekend now from here on out. And they feel good about that, especially with this pitching staff. I mean, honestly, there's going to be a lot of guys that aren't getting the throw probably. So you might need to try to find ways for them, and I'm sure it's going to be bullpen sessions, things like that. You want to make sure these guys are fresh when they do get their number called, whether it's the SEC tournament or the NCAA regional.
Right. I have not seen the pitching matchups. Usually the league sends those out prior to today, but I've not seen the weekend pitching matchups yet. What's Arkansas doing anything different, and what are they facing from Kentucky's standpoint?
They're not doing anything different. They're going to go with Aspen, Stanek, and Fant. So that's going to stay the same. Kentucky has been throwing lefty. For most of the, I think most of the season, if not all the season, but they switched it up a little bit here. And I think what I read was that it lost the second game of the series for about five straight weeks. So what they're going to do now is they're going to go lefty, righty, lefty. I'm not sure the names of those guys, to be honest with you. I don't have that in front of me. But, yeah, so
it'd be lefty, righty, and lefty. That would be cool.
They're going to throw lefty, Dizzy, and Daffy.
There you go. So they're going to try to mix it up a little bit, see if they can get a little momentum, a little change of pace there after struggling in that second game of the series. But, you know, either way, whoever's going to pitch, that guy's got to face Stanek. And the way Stanek's throwing right now, you know, it's going to be hard for any team to beat him.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with all that. Yesterday we carried the announcement live on the air, SEC and ESPN really expanding their already pretty solid relationship, mm-hmm. and the great thing is, according to Mike's Live, is that it's going to be more and more opportunities for you to see not only the traditional sports, but, you know, the maybe non-revenue sports on both the internet with digital feeds and also on the new SEC network. So any thoughts, I guess, from what came out of yesterday?
Yeah, that's what you just said is probably one of the most intriguing things to me, that, you know, these minor sports, I guess they're called minor sports, they're going to get some of the biggest benefits from this network, because you're going to have plenty of opportunities to show, you know, like the championship events, whether it's track or whatever it may be. Right. There's going to be, I'm sure, features all week long, whatever programming they come up with. So you're really going to get to shine the spotlight on these guys some more. And I think that's important. That's big. And, you know, good for them. They get some more coverage, and you know, that certainly helps. But the other big takeaway, I think, is football. We all know football is what's driving this. And the fact that there's going to be three games a week on the SEC network, I mean, that's pretty big. Having a morning game, having an afternoon game, and a night game, that's going to be pretty big.
I did think it was interesting looking at a couple of deal points from the press release that was sent out about CBS no longer having exclusive window at 2:30 on a Saturday, and they I kind of think they've become kind of the loser in the whole thing. Because
I thought they still had first right of refusal.
For the game,
they do.
But they no longer have that. They no longer have that exclusive window. You know, there was no game schedule when CBS had the only 2:30 game that could exist in the SEC schedule, and so they had that window of exclusivity, and that's gone. That's over.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so there could be a 2:30 game on the SEC network or elsewhere.
Correct.
That's exactly what's going to happen. But you know what that tells me? That tells me how strong and powerful the SEC is right now. A network like CBS will agree to something like that. Like, you know, okay, we don't really have much choice because we still want to carry your games because you are the SEC. So that just kind of speaks to the power. Now, CBS still will have the first choice every week. They'll get to pick, you know, the game that they want every week. But you're right. I mean, they're going to have competition now with the SEC network. So, if there are losers in this, that's probably CBS is probably one of them, because you're not going to have all eyes on your network. Because, you know what, while you may show, I don't know, let's say Alabama, Tennessee, if you're CBS, well, there might be Florida, Georgia over on the SEC network at the same time. So you're going to lose some viewers. There's no doubt about that.
Do you think the lot of talk about now having the network up and running in the 14th season, the 9-game conference season, the SEC moving to that, and then having the national network, the national footprint for the SEC network in place, does that make it easier then, or do you think that there are already two more schools picked out that ESPN's not going to cut this deal unless they think they can get the D.C. media market or maybe even a little further west?
North Carolina, maybe.
Yeah, if you get into the Carolinas to even out at 16, I got to think expansion is also right around the corner as a byproduct of this.
Those two areas are the only two areas that make sense to me, is if you're talking expansion, getting up into that D.C. area, getting into North Carolina maybe. Well, you know, funny that you know, the SC Network's going to be based there in Charlotte. So
yeah.
who knows what may come of that right there. But, yeah, I just can't imagine the SC expanding anywhere else. That seems like the top two places now. Will it happen? I don't know. I have no clue. But I wouldn't be surprised because I think schools and programs are going to see how much money this is going to bring in. The rich have gotten richer with this deal. There's no doubt about it. So
they have a lot of schools around the Atlanta market, but they don't have anybody in the Atlanta market. And Georgia Tech is sitting there as a school that geographically would fit. The question becomes: do they, you know, schools that have, you know, a state exclusivity?
Exactly.
Do they fight that as they have in the past? Florida, yeah. Georgia, other, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why you're not seeing Florida State. That's why you're not seeing Georgia Tech. That's why you're not seeing
Clemson.
These schools. Yeah, mm-hmm. Clemson. I mean, I would have a hard time believing any of those schools would be moved into the SEC because those programs are going to fight it as hard as they can. They don't want that to happen. So that's why it just makes sense that it would be somewhere where there isn't an SEC team, especially in that D.C. market. That would be a huge market if they could get it somehow, some way. There's no doubt, no doubt.
Who are we getting there?
Virginia Tech has always sort of
been
the nugget out there that is supposed to capture the D.C. media market. It's not it is and it isn't. What I think would be interesting
is
the D.C. media market is so transient to begin with because of the nature of the city, but you get a lot of Southern football fans up there. It would definitely carry
Does anybody get the lion's share of the attention on the nightly newscast or like a sportscast there?
It's more of a pro town. I mean, you're talking about football season; they're Redskins crazy, but they, you know, that they're saddled with ACC football,
saddled
for the most part.
And it sounds like a tumor.
And so,
boy, you know, I got to get this lanced. I mean, this thing is awful.
To Robbie's point, while the conference performance is extraordinary, especially at a football level, you got to have those big media markets to sell to advertisers, Ralph. You know what I'm talking about. So the D.C. media market is it's a real nugget to say we stretch from, you know, D.C. to Atlanta,
D.C.,
Dallas, Houston,
San Antonio,
you know,
and
St.
the Liberty
Louis.
Town, look Boston and a Baton Rouge.
You are Huey Lewis,
Tulsa, Austin, Oklahoma
you know
City.
You know, I'm going to derail this.
Seattle, San Francisco too.
expansion is always about television markets. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's trying to grab the next biggest television market. It's trying to set up, you know, bigger TV deals. This is what this is all about. So, you know, the SEC at 14 teams right now, they're perfectly content. But as we all know, if somebody starts to get crazy and they start to talk about adding 16-team conferences and, you know, the SEC feels like it needs to jump up and grab some more, it's very capable of getting it done. So I don't know if they're going to be the first ones to try to go to 16 if that ever happens. But they'll be prepared if they need to. There's no doubt.
Robbie Nicewanger of the Arkansas News Bureau joining us on the Revolution Hotline. What do you think is more likely to happen? And if you think they're both very likely to happen, which one do you think will happen first? An expansion or a 9-game SEC schedule? Or do you think maybe they'll happen in conjunction? I'll give you a choice C.
No doubt a 9-game schedule. I really think that it's coming. And I know that the coaches are probably going to try to fight it a little bit. But, you know, again, we go back to looking at, you know, television.
Yeah,
there's a chance for an extra week of SEC games. So I it really feels like the SEC Network 9-game schedule. These things are going to run hand in hand. I think it's going to help the SEC as far as the new playoff format as well. It's going to continue to boost and bolster the strength of schedule every year because, you know, you're going to add one more SEC team to your schedule, and that's going to help. You know, this conference, it just feels like they're going to get two teams in that 14 playoff every year the way it's going right now. And you're going to try to do everything you can to get that. I know some people will think, well, that may knock somebody out. But it also may help some years because you might have a stronger strength of schedule. And people will look at that and say, well, this team deserves to be there, even though they have two losses because they lost to, I don't know, Alabama and LSU. So they deserve to be there. So
yeah, and the other thing is where you may have had, like, say you've got a Pac-12 champion that's undefeated and a Big Ten champion that's undefeated, where an SEC team that has a loss may have been shut out in the past. If they have one loss, they're going to be in a 14 playoff at that point. I mean, they're not going to shut an SEC team out. So to me, it's almost, in some ways, easier to win a national championship under the new format for the SEC. It's harder in some ways, too, because you only have to play one game currently, whereas now you'll have to win two games. But I think as far as being shut out, you know, there's less to be concerned about with the new format than there was in the past.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why I think the 9-game schedule is coming. And I'm sure it's going to be discussed at length down at Destin later this month at the SEC meetings. It'll be very interesting to see what comes out of there. I don't know if they're at a spot where anything officially will happen at this point. But it just feels like the conference is moving that direction. I think even some of Sly's comments late, I can't remember where it was, but you know, he was talking about it too, and just reading his comments made me think, okay, this is going to happen, because it sure sounds like the commissioner wants it to happen, so it's going to happen.
Well, I thought it was interesting too. You know, Mike Sly took a lot of heat when the Big Ten Network debuted, and why wasn't the SEC keeping pace, and what's the story? And you could tell he took a very methodical approach, and he always wanted, while the Big Ten Network has been very productive for that conference, it's still it's a regional network at best, and they haven't really capitalized on having all those big media markets up there with it. And you see the disaster that the Texas network has been. I mean, I would have thought when that happened, if you remember, Oklahoma and a number of other schools freaked out, but it's been a disaster.
It has.
So hats off to Mike Sly for taking a very methodical approach and putting a deal together that, as you point out, Robbie, just makes the rich get richer.
Yeah, he's crafty. He knows what he's doing. He's very, very, like you said, methodical. I think he doesn't just jump. He's always got a plan. He's always working on that plan. But he seems to be very, very good at you know, the best timing for things. And right now, I mean, this seems perfect for the SEC Network. You've got 14 teams in the conference. You've got the Texas market now. You've got, you know, Missouri and St. Louis market now that you can add into this television deal. So so the SEC is really primed and ready to go for it now. It's perfect timing.
One last thing, there was talk this week, Robbie, of Arkansas working on a home-and-home with Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury, the new coach over there. Certainly a little cachet added over there. He's got some swagger.
They play that in Dallas?
That would be the cool. They're talking home-and-home. I'd love for them to play it at Jerry's house. That would be great. But any insight on that?
No, it sounds like Arkansas is trying to wait and see what the conference schedule is going to be, and you can understand that and appreciate that. You don't want to schedule in a very difficult spot in your schedule, and you may not even know the open dates yet as far as non-conference games go. So it feels like it's going to happen. I just think it's a matter of Arkansas being able and ready to sign off on it. And if it happens, I think it's a good series. You know, you get to go down there, and they get to come up here, and it won't be playing Jerry World. That would be great, but you know, with Texas A&M going back there in a couple of years, just doesn't make sense to play there twice. So but I think it'll be a good series. I mean, anytime you can play like a Big 12 team, again, we talked about this playoff format. This is very important for something like that. You want to show that, you know, you're not playing just a bunch of patsies in the non-conference. You know, you're going to schedule aggressively, and I think if you can have a Big 12 program like Texas Tech on there, it shows that you're not afraid to play some teams. So that can only help Arkansas if you can win your games.
Look, if I'm Arkansas and I got to play a 9-game conference schedule, I want 3 NAIA teams outside of that.
It's a recruiting game too.
Yeah,
it's a recruiting game too, because to be blunt, you're competing against Texas Tech in the state of Texas.
You cannot out-recruit Texas Tech. Have you seen Cliff Kingsbury? I'm telling you, he's going to coach half his games this year with his shirt off. He's going to be the hottest commodity. They're going to be moms all over the country pushing their kids to Lubbock, Texas.
The Ryan Gosling.
No, honey, I really think you should play for that guy. I can't remember his name. Coach Kingsbury over in Lubbock.
Yeah, he's a handsome.
He's so cool, man. He's so cool. He's.
You know what?
He's
really a nice guy too. That's the thing. We got to meet him at. He was here for the last Burroughs Award before he'd taken the job at Texas Tech.
Did your wife get to meet him?
No, she did not. Thank God, because then she would no longer probably be my wife. But she is. He is a cool dude. He is the hipster we all want to be.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, really?
Well, sorry. You can admit it or not.
He's a hipster coaching a Big 12 team, you know. So, it'll be very interesting to see what that program looks like under his guidance. So, I know, you know, the offense should be exciting, and I think that's what Texas Tech really has prided itself on. So, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see what they do.
Well, Robbie, we appreciate it, my man.
Stay warm.
No problem.
Yeah, without a doubt. Or make a snowman, either way.
My car says 36 degrees right now. It's May 3rd. It's 36
May
degrees up here.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Huh.
All right. Well, tell Jeff Lawn to get that new Arkansas baseball indoor facility in the works. What would it cost to put a retractable retractable roof at Baum Stadium? What would that run?
When you see this, what's left? Do we need a outdoor gymnastics practice facility? Because we only have the indoor. I mean, at some point, don't we run out of facilities to go get? Do we need
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of kind of cool looking outdoor gymnastics.
Outdoor gymnastics.
You got to play with the elements. If it rains, it makes it doubly. I mean, you know how hard it is to stay on a balance beam
when we take
when it's wet?
When we did an indoor women's field hockey training facility, you know?
Hey, look, it's an arms race, Bill. You can either get in or get out.
I'm just saying.
Just send your check to the university.
Stop the madness.
I love it.
Anyway.
All right, Robbie, I appreciate it, my man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Nice. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Robbie Neiswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau.
His car.
Yes, a very cold one at that. We have some clips from Jeff Long, who visited with our friends on the morning show this morning, talking about, among other things, coaches' shows on the SEC Network and what they learned from the Longhorn Network. I know folks around here would like to pretend that Texas doesn't exist, but it does, and nobody has done much better with making money with their athletic programs than the University of Texas. So let's play those two back-to-back. We'll take a timeout and come right back here to Oaklawn. And before we get to that, let me mention this. And I don't know if you've gone shopping for Mother's Day just yet, Bill, but let me make it easy for you. Let me make it easy for you, my man. You know, Mother's Day is is a week from Sunday.
Yes.
And, you know, there are a lot of people who should be remembered on Mother's Day. And if you want to send something to my wife, please don't.